And yous have been, I don't know what you would call it, whether you call it laboring or enjoying, I'm not sure which way it is. Iron sharpens iron. I thought for the number of people who are listening in or are here, and I thought I would read my preamble. You will understand a little bit more the questions if I read the preamble, so I'm going to do that here first. The theme this year is the truths that seem to contradict one another. So God's Word, the Bible, contains many truths that seem to be at odds with each other or even contradict one another. And there sometimes seem to be a tension between two truths. Understanding and applying both truths is essential for a healthy and mature walk with God. It brings security, stability, and fruitfulness in many ways. And I think I could add now, after what we've been hearing, exactly that's called wisdom. Christians who live only in the reality of one of those truths are unbalanced and unbiblical or even heretical. One definition of heresy is truth out of balance or one truth held to the exclusion of another. So that's the preamble, that's the context in which those questions were given. And now you've been given questions that are seem to be on opposite sides. So, now one of the things, one of the challenges we may have is when something that is somewhat complex by nature is we didn't define the terms. So, and the second question especially, what does it mean, Pharisaical in nature? That can mean different things. And since we didn't define the term, I didn't define it, yous defined it, and we didn't all define it the same way. So things will come out a little different in different people, and that's fine. And we can learn from that. Just like legalism, well, what does that mean? Well, that means different things to different people. So how you defined it will affect how you answer the question. And I want you to remember, when you're listening in and you listen to someone else, and maybe you don't agree with it, you might realize they actually define something differently. So just keep all that in context as we go forward. So we can learn. Okay, going to come up here with your prayer group. We're going to have the boys just when I'm going to announce which ones start first. And when the girls are up here, then the next group of girls can start along the wall, just gather along the wall, the next prayer group, same way with the boys, so that we can just flow in time. Or maybe in this case, I'm going to alternate the boys and girls. When the boys are up, you might not have to get up right away, but when the girls are up and then you come in time, then just gather together before they go down. And I'm going to number off the prayer groups and just remember when you should come up. So we're going to alternate the girls and the boys, and since the girls have one more group than the boys, we're going to start with them and we're going to end with them. And we're going to do 1, 11, 2, 10, 3, 9, and so on until we come to 6. So we'll do it in that order. And I suppose, is there any questions before we move ahead? Anybody have any unanswered questions that need to be answered before we move ahead? Okay. Let's start with number 1.
Jesus' yoke is easy and his burden is light is because he doesn't ask us to do more than we can. As it says in 1 Corinthians 10:13,
there hath no temptation taken to you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it.
Other religions try hard to appease their God's wrath or perform meaningless rituals. In contrast, all God asks of us is to give our whole self to him. Also, Jesus' yoke is easy because he gives us grace, peace, and freedom. Once you are in a yoke, you lose your independence. Once we lose our independence, then God is able to give us direction. Hebrews 12:1-3.
Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of God. Consider him that endures such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds.
When we have an eternal perspective, the yoke will be easy because the yoke is not our focus. Jesus was comparing his yoke to the yoke of self, Satan, and the world. This yoke may look like freedom, but it is actually bondage. When Jesus asks us to take up the cross and follow him daily, he means that we must crucify ourselves and do what he does. We must lose our life and identity for Christ. This is a serious command.
Luke 14:27, and whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Matthew 10:38, and he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me.
The commandment to take up our cross meshes perfectly with the assurance that Christ's burden is light. Both involve losing your identity and life and going where the Lord is going. God gives us grace and ability for our calling.
Church rules or agreements are not automatically Pharisaical in nature. We know this because we have seen this work in churches. In our personal lives, we have found joy and protection in following guidelines. A church tends to become Pharisaical by following the letter of the law and focusing on outward appearance, or they may take rules and guidelines as salvation. We also see Jesus rebuking the Pharisees for asking questions they didn't actually want answers for. They challenged what he said rather than accepting his truth, and we can do the same thing today. A church that does not have practical standards and expectations is not fulfilling God's plan for the church. He has called us to unity, not independence. In Jeremiah, we read that the heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. Standards help us in areas where we are still fighting our carnal nature. We can also dull the conscience of those who are sensitive, as it says in 1 Corinthians 8:9-12.
But take heed, lest by any means this liberty of yours become a stumbling block to them that are weak. When ye sin so against the brethren and wound their weak conscience, ye sin against Christ.
A church without practical standards does not have identification or direction. They don't have good reasons why they do things, and because of this, they are not prepared for persecution or temptation. Their church will have division, and people will lose out personally. They will collect anybody and everybody, but they won't have the spirit of brotherhood. A church can avoid becoming legalistic when its members are truly risen with Christ and seeking those things which are above. Jesus exhorted the Pharisees in Matthew 23:23.
Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. These ought ye to have done, and not to leave the other undone.
It's important to focus on what we know God's heart to be. We come to understand this as we read the Bible and submit to the guidelines of our church. We should view these guidelines as safeguards and rest in them. A church should be giving sound teaching so that its members understand the principles behind their standards. In addition, by reaching out to others, it keeps our focus on what our true kingdom calling is.
So why is Jesus' yoke easy? So first off, I would say one of the reasons that Jesus' yoke is easy is when we compare it to the former yoke that we were under. Compared with the yoke of sin, the yoke of bondage, the yoke of Satan, we could say that Jesus' yoke is easy. We're no longer under that guilt. We're no longer under the shame. That way is one way. Another way I would say is in comparison to the glory, in comparison to the reward after the yoke, I would say also the yoke is easy because the suffering, like it says, the suffering of this world is not worthy to be compared to the glory which is set before us. So sure, it may seem hard now, but in reality, when you set one beside the other, we would say that it is an easy yoke. So sometimes I hear this opinion expressed that I hear people say, you know, Christian life is so hard, and we're just barely making it, you know, and just one day at a time we're taking this. And I understand there's many times it is difficult and it's hard, but I think we should also look at it in the way that it's a pleasure, it's a liberty to serve the Lord. We should be proud of our membership in the kingdom of God. You know what I'm saying? I don't think we have to take it as it's always a burden on us to be serving God. Like when you look at what he's done for us in comparison, we owe everything to him and we should serve him with joy. I think in this place, Jesus was probably comparing the yoke specifically to the Mosaic Law because that was the yoke that people were currently under. I think that can also be applied to the yoke of sin, the yoke of lust, the yoke of just bondage being yoked to Satan, though probably he was specifically comparing it to the Mosaic Law. So as in the daily cross, like what does that mean for us? I don't want to minimize people who say, you know, my cross might be sickness or physical problems or financial loss, stuff like that. That may be true in cases, but I would like to believe that the cross is practical. The cross is a day-to-day thing. It involves, you know, sometimes we think of the cross as something out there, you know, someday when we'll grow up, we're going to be bearing this cross. But I would like to say that it is a practical, it's an everyday thing. It's sacrifice. It's self-denial, living a victorious life, submission to authority, just living as best we can as Christians in this current day. So how does it mesh with the cross? How does that mesh with the burden? I would say one thing is the rest is internal, where it says, I will give you rest, and then it says, take my yoke upon you. We could say that when we follow the cross, when we follow the will of God, he will give us the rest when we are living in his will.
So our church rule's automatically Pharisaical, and it's no. But when you say our church rule's and agreement's automatically Pharisaical in nature, then it's yes. Because when we make a rule, let's say we say no shorts are allowed, and you go and you see someone with shorts on, automatically in nature you're going to say, oh, I'm more righteous than you are, because Pharisaical is one of the definitions is self-righteousness. So you are going to automatically say, yeah, I am more righteous than you are, naturally. But, I mean, it shouldn't be that way, and it doesn't have to be that way, but in nature, rules automatically are Pharisaical. And the second one, how does the church tend to become Pharisaical in nature? When they start focusing more on the outward and not the base issue of loving God and man, and when you put too much emphasis on the rules. And the pitfalls of not having standards is when everyone's doing that which is right in his own eyes, there's no unity and the Bible is full of things of how we are supposed to be unified in what we are doing, and at least outwardly, we're not going to be very unified. And also, the vision doesn't usually last more than one or two generations at the most, and the children don't get the vision. And how does the church avoid becoming legalistic? by making biblical practical applications to our life and generation, and not making rules in reaction to the fashions and fads of the world, which change all the time.
So for the first subject, this is what we came up with. Jesus' yoke is easy and his burden is light, because when we give Jesus our burdens, worries, and troubles and let them go, choosing rather to allow him to control and trusting him with the results, he gives us freedom and a peace that we could never attain alone. His is the only yoke that is light. We think there are two other yokes we might be wearing besides Jesus: the yoke of the world or the Pharisees' yoke. The yoke of the world looks easy at first, but in the long run is bondage to sin. The Pharisees' yoke is basing our salvation on works, trying to be good enough to get to heaven, in contrast to Jesus being our only way to salvation. We think taking up the cross could look different for different people. For some, it might mean being shunned by family, being persecuted, or being killed. For others, it's getting up every morning and deciding to follow Jesus, deciding to say no to our selfish nature, deciding to be Christ-like in our attitudes, our thoughts, our words, and our actions. This daily dying to self is painful, but without it, we die spiritually. Denying ourselves will give us peace and joy, which will make taking up our cross easier.
For our second question, we came up with an illustration. Picture a beautiful fireplace, well-structured. The stones are polished, but inside is dead ashes, and the house is cold. Someone has put a lot of effort into taking care of the fireplace, but it's not generating any heat. Now picture another fire with no boundaries. First it spreads and seems to be giving off a lot of heat. But because it has no structure or protection from the elements, when the rain comes, it extinguishes it. Last of all, picture a warm fire and a well-kept fireplace. There is continual fuel supplied. It gives off light and heat to the entire house. The first fire describes a church that is Pharisaical in nature. They're focused on the outward appearance instead of the heart. Inside, they are cold and dead. The second fire describes a church who throws out all regulations and focuses only on the heart. It gets out of control quickly, and when the temptations of the world come, there is nothing to protect them, and nothing is left for the coming generations. The last fire describes a healthy church that has a good balance between guidelines and the leading of the Holy Spirit. The guidelines bring protection and stability, and the Spirit is active in each one's life. This is both alive and under control. This church is both alive and under control, giving heat and light to the world around, and many generations can be blessed.
So, on the question of the verse, "My yoke is easy," versus taking up our cross, we have rephrased these verses. First one, "My yoke is easy," to "Jesus' way is good. He knows what's best for us and gives us all grace." In contrast, Proverbs 13:15.
"Good understanding giveth favor, but the way of the transgressor is hard."
And then the verse, "Taking up our cross daily," to "every day saying no to self and yes to Jesus' way, which is hard for mankind, but is truly good for us, since God made us and has our best in mind and wants to give us all grace. Taking up our cross," or saying yes to Jesus' way, "brings rest and peace to our soul, which we see in harmony with his yoke is easy."
Question and answers for section 2. Are church rules automatically, or agreements automatically, Pharisaical in nature? Our answer was no. We do realize that they can be, but some of the way we defined Pharisaical was, or in our discussions, it had the connotation of rules that were held higher than God and involved hypocrisy. So if they are based off biblical principles and history and are not held higher than God, they are not automatically Pharisaical in nature. How does a church tend to become Pharisaical in nature? They hold rules higher than God. The church takes higher priority of keeping rules than dealing with sin. And they allow the church rules to become people's salvation. Matthew 23:23.
Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. These ought ye to have done, and not to leave the other undone.
What are the pitfalls if a church does not have practical standards and expectations? The church can easily drift without realizing it. The members in the church do not know what a Christian should look or act like. The church lacks unity, and they tend not to be on the same page. And how can a church avoid becoming legalistic? They can allow their members to know why the guidelines were made and have a vision for where you want to go, where you want your children to go, and those after them. Proverbs 29:18.
Where there is no vision, the people perish, but he that keepeth the law, happy is he.
Jesus' yoke is easy to bear because he is with us, sharing in each aspect of our daily life. When we are in his yoke, we are in his will, and his spirit guides us. When we do not choose to put ourselves into Jesus' yoke, we remain in the yoke of bondage to sin and Satan. Galatians 5:1.
Stand fast there in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage.
In this verse, Paul entreats us to not return to this bondage after we have been freed by God's grace. One example of putting ourselves into bondage is the issue of Christians today getting caught up in this world's politics. They get entangled and consumed in this burden not meant for them to bear. We are instructed to bear the cross every day, laying our will aside in favor of his direction and leading. We are to be his disciples, sacrificing our desires willingly because we love him. In denying ourselves and taking on Jesus' yoke, we welcome a partnership with him. Once we have laid our will aside, allowing him to be the leader, we can trust and rest in him. This brings great peace, even in times of extreme trial. Living a life surrendered to God and walking with him daily brings the joy of knowing we have hope beyond this dark, suffering, doomed world. 1 Peter 1:8.
Who, having not seen, ye love, in whom, though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory.
Do you want to share the song? Play the song. Say the song. Okay, I have to find it. Faith is going to share a song that she found that applies to this very well.
My flesh recoiled before the cross, and Satan whispered there, thy gain will not repay the loss. His yoke is hard to bear. His yoke is easy, his burden is light. I found it so, I found it so. His service is my sweetest delight. His blessings ever flow.
Although there are various views and points of direction on whether or not church rules are automatically pharisaical, we have come to the conclusion that they are not. Throughout the canon of Scripture, God gave his people direct, practical applications of principles. In Paul's letter to the Hebrews, he gave one such example, Hebrews 13:17.
Obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch over your souls as they that must give an account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you.
We are to obey those put in authority over us because they have a responsibility for our souls. Church standards and rules are a very clear way to accomplish this end. However, a church can become stagnant when traditions and outward appearances are valued and promoted above having a personal relationship with Christ. There is a flip side to this, though. When churches leave the Anabaptist perspective and abandon even the Bible standards because they believe that the heart is what matters, they leave a trail of confusion and unrest, especially in the hearts of their young people. The truth is that the heart is naturally wicked. Jeremiah 17:9.
The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it?
To avoid becoming legalistic, the church should teach the importance of practical teachings from the Bible. This way, members do what they do with purpose, understanding the reason for the rules and guidelines set in place.
In what way is Jesus' yoke easy and his burden light? So we came to the conclusion that when we surrender to Christ, we are sharing the yoke with him, which in turn makes it easier. When we put on his yoke, he gives us his spirit, so we don't have to live by the law. Hence we make good choices, which leads to our desired end. Second question, compared to what other yoke and or burden may Jesus be comparing his yoke to? He was probably comparing his yoke to the burden or yoke of guilt or self, which we feel before we are converted. In modern day, that might be legalism, or for example, Islam. Ramadan, they pray 5 times a day with their head facing a certain direction. They fast all day, but at night they can go do whatever they want, and so they are living under the burden of the law. And we as Christians are glad that we don't have to do that. So the second question: what is meant when he asks us to take up the cross and follow him daily? Taking up our cross is a way of life. It's a willingness to come under Jesus' yoke. It's a consciousness of always living out Jesus' commandments. We would deny our flesh, serve others, turn the other cheek. How does the command of take up our cross mesh with the assurance that his yoke is easy, his burden is light, and he gives us rest? In what way are both truths true? By faith we step into his yoke. We die to our flesh, and he helps us carry the load. Colossians chapter 1, verse 20 says, he has made peace through the blood of his cross.
So as we looked at question number 2, it made for some very good discussions, and I enjoyed it thoroughly. So for question number 1, are church rules or agreements automatically Pharisaical in nature? And the answer is that no, they are not. Rules are not Pharisaical. We only make them that way when we judge other people or pressure them to conform to our standards or we ourselves take on a Pharisaical attitude. And they are not Pharisaical at all if we can take on a view that the standards are a safeguard for us and that they are helping us to better serve others in Christ's kingdom. So for second question, how does a church tend to become Pharisaical in nature? Churches tend to become Pharisaical if brothers are not putting Jesus first in their own lives and are not willing to submit one to another and have some, and then have some pride in the heart, which leads to self-righteousness. We can also become Pharisaical when we cut off other groups that have different standards than we do. So for question number three, what are the pitfalls if a church does not have practical standards and expectations? Some of the pitfalls can be independence, pride, arrogance in that I can interpret the Holy Spirit better than others or the brotherhood or different brotherhoods, and also the inability to pass on Christian values to the next generation. And for question number four, how can a church avoid becoming legalistic? Talking about our standards as a brotherhood will help us develop our own personal convictions about why we do what we do and why they are in place. A short phrase that we kind of coined could be submission with Christ-like conviction. We should obey out of a willing heart and not by checking the boxes.
So this is what our group came up with for the first question. When we come to Christ and are joined to his yoke of fellowship, we will no longer be able to be joined to our former yoke of bondage and our burden of sin. And since we are joined to Christ, we won't need to bear a burden alone. Therefore, it will be easy. Luke 9:23. And he said unto them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. To take up our cross is to crucify our flesh, our own will and desires. When we take up our cross and surrender our will to the will of Christ, we are joining ourselves to the yoke of Christ, which makes our burden light. The Christian life is a past, present, and continuous life of surrender. While being called to die daily, we are also given a wonderful promise that God's mercies are new every morning.
So for the answer to the second question, the Bible is full of principles and guidelines for the Christian life. Therefore, it is unlikely that church standards are automatically Pharisaical. However, if a church starts to raise their standards equal to or higher than the Bible, focusing on the letter of the law instead of the spirit of the law, they can quickly morph into a deranged mess. In such churches, biblical principles and teachings become a mere tradition and a grim formality. Things such as baptism, modesty, and the head covering, to mention a few, are only observed because this is how it was always done. Churches who have morphed into such Pharisaical ways of living are prone to lose their vision and, sadly, their goal for their eternal future. Proverbs 29:18 says, where there is no vision, the people perish, but he that keepeth the law, happy is he. In such a group where rules are non-existent, everyone will tend to do what's right in their own eyes. Having an open heart towards the brotherhood entirely dissipates. The thought of submitting one to another, as mentioned in Ephesians 5:21, is entirely repulsive. People will tend to become self-centered and self-reliant. Often these types of churches become disunified and have a tendency to dissolve into a heap of grief and bitterness. One of the reasons that beliefs could become a tradition is simply the lack of teaching on various subjects of life. It is important to know the principle behind a law. Hebrews 3:12-13 says, take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God, but exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. In the end, it comes down to where our heart is at with God. Romans 7:6 says, but now we are delivered from the law, that being dead wherein we were held, that we should serve in newness of spirit and not in the oldness of the letter. And I will close with Psalms 139:23-24. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting.
In what way is Jesus' yoke easy and his burden light? As a group, yeah, I really enjoyed discussing this. We came to the conclusion that just a couple of things. One is trust and peace. Just the fact that there's no guilt, we can be free in Jesus, and just that close walk with Jesus. Compared to what other yoke and or burden may Jesus be comparing his yoke to? Galatians 5:1 says,
"Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage."
So yeah, as it says there, the yoke of bondage is sin and the law and or dead works. What is meant when he asks us to take up the cross and follow him daily? It means surrendering our will to God, and sometimes it also means shame for Christ's name. When we're ridiculed, when we're standing up for Christ, which might not apply quite as much to our circles, but yeah, just a thought. In what way are both truths true? When we deny flesh or take up the cross, we are allowing or giving space for Jesus' peace in our lives, and that has to do with discipline, so delayed gratification, which that could also be called Christ's peace and rest, the yoke. If we take up a cross, the reward is coming, whether spiritual, physical, or both. And even from a solely physical perspective, following God's moral laws bring blessing.
Alright, so we decided for the first question, are church rules or agreements automatically Pharisaical in nature? No, they are not. If they're not Pharisaical, if the heart is in it and we understand the rules, and also the Christian life is practical and we need to apply rules to our life. The second question, how does the church tend to become Pharisaical in nature? One way is in the rule is taught without the principle, and when a practical application does not apply and it is not updated. Three, what are pitfalls if a church does not have practical standards and expectations? Can create an unstable environment for young Christians, and it seems there's a constant drift to the world. Four, how can a church become legalistic? When the youth have questions and they're just told, just do what you're told, obey the rules, and they don't explain why we do it, can tend to become legalistic. And if standards are not relevant to the day.
For our first question, in what way is Jesus' yoke easy and his burden light? When we are yoked with Jesus, we aren't alone. His presence is with us. He empowers us through his Holy Spirit to live above our sinful carnal desires. 1 Peter 5:7 says, "Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you." His yoke is easy because we can cast our burdens on him, and he will help us bear them. He brings rest to our souls, as Matthew 11:29 says. "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls." For the second question, compared to what other yoke and or burden may Jesus be comparing this yoke to? Jesus may be comparing his yoke to the yoke of bondage mentioned in Galatians 5:1. "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage." This yoke of bondage is the yoke of the Pharisees laid upon people, the yoke of all the outward rituals and regulations. This yoke kept them bound to the law. Jesus may also be comparing his yoke to the burden of sin. When we carry the burden of sin, we have no power to overcome sin. We are in bondage to our sin, as John 8:34b says, "Whosoever committeth sin is a servant of sin." Truly, Jesus' yoke is easy and his burden light when compared to the yoke of bondage and the burden of sin. Question 3, what is meant when he asks us to take up the cross and follow him daily? Everyone's cross is different. Our cross can be whatever we cannot do in our own flesh, or whatever area in our life that we need to allow Christ to work on.
To take up the cross daily and follow him is daily making the choice of following Jesus. It is also to surrender what we really want. We need to surrender until it hurts. It also means denying our selfish desires and our own ideas and ways. For question 4, how does the command of taking up our cross mesh with assurance that his yoke is easy, his burden is light, and he gives us rest? In what ways are both truths true? Although we have a cross to take up, we don't have to do it in our own strength. Being yoked with Jesus represents strength. Through his Holy Spirit, he empowers us to live holy lives. Matthew 10:38-39 says, "And he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. He that findeth his life shall lose it, and he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it." Losing our lives for his sake causes us to have the hope of heaven. Though we must take up our cross daily, our burden will seem lighter with the reward of heaven inspiring us. 2 Corinthians 4:17, "For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding eternal weight of glory."
So our question was, are church rules or agreements automatically Pharisaical in nature? We said no, because without rules, there is no freedom. And also, the Bible has rules and expectations we should apply to our lives. Question number 2, how does a church tend to become Pharisaical in nature? This happens when our rules or agreements become more than they should be, when we uphold them as our salvation and or righteousness. Also, being proud of the rules and agreements the church has made and not acknowledging that this isn't the only right way will leave the church in a Pharisaical spirit. We had 2 verses to go along with this. Matthew 23:25-26 says, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you make clean the outside of the cup and the platter, but within they are full of extortion and excess. Thou blind Pharisee, cleanse first that which is within the cup and platter, that the outside of them may be clean also." And also of the Pharisees, Jesus said in Mark 7:13, "Making the word of God of none effect through your tradition, which you have delivered, and many such like things you do." Question number 3, what are the pitfalls if a church does not have practical standards or expectations? The church will experience division and drift. Likely, the younger generation will not uphold the same vision as the older. This brings unrest and often confusion. Our last question was, how can a church avoid becoming legalistic? First, they should strive to be like Jesus rather than focusing on the rules. Another help is to hear all the opinions within the brotherhood and agreeing together, striving together to follow Jesus. A verse that goes along with this is James 1:25. "But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, this man being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed."
So bringing the two truths together, how is Jesus' yoke easy, and taking up our cross, how do those fit together? Dying to ourselves is the prerequisite of the easy yoke. We find Jesus' yoke easy when we give up our own will and agenda for his will. And our burden will be light because he is with us and he helps us. And his burden will also be our burden. So when we pull together with him, we will find the yoke to be easy and the burden to be light. Being yoked with Jesus is like being yoked with a friend. And it would be the opposite of being yoked with an enemy, which would be being yoked to our flesh or to the devil. The devil's yoke, the yoke of sin.
So, yeah, it's being yoked with Jesus is like being yoked to a friend. The more we see his love for us, and the more we love him, the easier the yoke will be. So, yeah. If we love him with all our heart, it will be easier. It will make his yoke easier.
Question was, are church rules pharisaical in nature? The defining judgment Jesus passed on the Pharisees was that in their commandments and in their following of the law, they missed the very heart of God in favor of tradition. Rules or agreements made in the spirit of honoring, pleasing, and obeying God are not pharisaical in nature because they stem from a heart of love rather than rote tradition alone. In the kingdom of God, our end goal is to glorify and serve God, assuming first of all that those who are within the church have a changed heart and are following after God. Our means to the end of glorifying God is practical application of holy living in our homes, in our personal lives, and in our churches. Over time, this results in tradition. It is when the means to the end, or the tradition and the rules, it is when the means to the end become an end in themselves that agreements become pharisaical in nature. A church that does not have practical standards of application, claims immunity from the power of influence, rejects the vital role of Christian community in safeguarding and warning us of impending danger, and by missing the accountability that is found in brotherhood, opens the door for its members to lead carnal, selfish, and undisciplined lives. So, how can a church avoid becoming legalistic? First of all, we do this by honoring the two greatest commandments, to love God with our whole heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love our neighbor as ourselves. And secondly, by reaffirming and revisiting the principles of God's word and the practical applications that we make to apply them.
So this is what our group came up for the questions. In what way is Jesus' yoke easy and his burden light? Jesus gives peace of mind, grace, and supernatural strength. Jesus bears the yoke with us and shares the burden. His commandments are not grievous, 1 John 5:3. God's way brings rest, Jeremiah 6:16. What other yoke or burden may Jesus have been comparing his yoke to? Satan's kingdom and the world is a yoke of bondage, Galatians 5:1. Each of us is in one yoke or the other. The devil's way may look easier at first, but the results are completely different. The devil keeps us unsettled and always searching for more. Jesus fulfills. What is meant when he asks us to take up his cross? Each person's cross may be different. Taking up the cross is simply doing what doesn't come naturally. It is giving up our own desires. The cross can be things we are called to as disciples, whether physical, emotional, or spiritual. Walking with Jesus is a daily choice. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. Philippians 2:7. And how does this commandment of taking up our cross mesh with the assurance that his yoke is easy? When you do something for someone you love, it is not hard to do. We bear the cross because we love God. We love God because he first loved us. Joy is the end. There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God, Hebrews 4:9. Jesus said, "My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness," 2 Corinthians 12:9. If we focus on the joy that is set before us instead of our cross,
God will give us the grace to endure to the end. Jesus will bear the yoke with us.
Are church rules or agreements automatically pharisaical in nature? A church's rules are not automatically pharisaical, but made with discernment. Rules are a protection and give stability and unity to a congregation. Psalm 133:1, how good and pleasant it is to dwell together in unity. How does a church tend to become pharisaical in nature? A church may become pharisaical in tendency when rules are held above God's word. We lose the vision of the principle behind the view, or we find ourselves not open to asking why and being inflexible to other alternatives. We may also use tradition to feel more righteous than others. They do their works to be seen by men, Matthew 23:5. How can a church avoid becoming legalistic? Churches can avoid both worldliness and legalism or having no standards at all by digging into God's word, humble communication, seeking God's will as a unified body. Fulfill ye my joy, that ye being like-minded, having the same love, being one accord, of one mind. Philippians 2:2. I think I skipped a question. I don't know which question I skipped, so I guess that's going to have to be it.
Thank you. Thank you for getting into the Word and discussing and thinking and praying and asking counsel, maybe. Appreciate that. Those answers were good. I feel like I've been instructed. So thank you. Okay, I think that covers this, so we just dismiss him. Or do you have any announcements, Brother John?